Well, go ahead and take out your copy of the scriptures. We're going to be in Psalm 121 today. Psalm 121 is a really wonderful psalm. You remember, we just briefly spent a couple weeks on Psalm 119. Certainly, there's a lot of content in Psalm 119 as we've been memorizing it, and we could go through a whole year just meditating on, chewing on, digging into Psalm 119. But we looked at the nature, the wonderful nature of God's Word a couple weeks ago, and then the power of God's Word to change us last week. How can a young man keep his way pure? Very pertinent question. How can a person stay pure in this world? And you can do that, you can be pure, you can be right by guarding your way according to God's Word. With my whole heart, I seek you. A heart is always in view in the work of the Lord. He doesn't just want our sort of surface attention. He wants our affection. And the heart is always in view. With my whole heart, I seek you. And this is a person who loves the Lord, wants what God wants, and has affection for the Lord and the things of the Lord. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And again, this is one of the things that we try to do here as a church each year is pick out verses to memorize and passages to memorize. Hopefully you have much of God's word stored up in your heart. And practically, from personal experience, I find that often. I often am in life situations where I need to draw on the word of God. And I don't always pull out my Bible. Now, years ago, you would say, I don't always have my Bible on me. I do now, because we have a phone. I not only have Bible on me, I have as many study resources on my phone as I do in my office. That's really quite odd, but that's very true. But I don't always pull it out, because I have the Word of God stored up in my heart. I know I can, and that's the way God works. I know the situation. I think it through. I think of what God says about that. I mull it over in my mind. I roll it around. What would God have me do? I have stored up your word in my heart for purpose, so that I might not sin against God. I don't want my sinful nature to take precedence or to rule my life or to come out in those times. And so I have to store up God's word in my heart. And God will change you incrementally over time. He does that. He has done that. That's what he's about. He's making a people that are fit for him and good servants of him here. Psalm 121, then, as we continue our time in through the Psalms. I believe we only have two more times in the Psalms this time through, and then we're going to jump into the Minor Prophets, and I'm looking forward to that. Psalm 121, follow along as I read. A song of ascents. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Wow, awesome psalm. Let's pray. Thank you, God, so much for this wonderful passage of Scripture and a psalm for worship. And it does, man, it stirs up our hearts to love and worship you. You are awesome. Thank you for being our help and our confidence, one that we have our faith in, that we know you are working, we see you working in our lives, and we trust that you will continue to work. And I just pray to that end, that today you would use your word, stir us up with holy affection for you, and I pray that this time in your word would be helpful to all of us to know you more, to change us into being more like Christ, and so that we can be faithful in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Where do you go for help? The psalm, Psalm 121, and we'll talk about it being a psalm of ascents here. That is, inspired. That's not something to skip. They chose to not number those when they put the numbers in, the helpful numbers that are not inspired. Where I lift my eyes up to the hills, from where does my help come? Your Bible may say, I lift up my eyes to the hills, and this is more modern English than yours may say, but it may say, from whence come my help? That in modern English, that's not a particularly good translation, because it's confusing, and it makes you think that someone looks at the hills and they say, I lift my eyes to the hills because that's where my help comes from. That's not at all what this is saying. This is saying, I lift my eyes up to the hills, where does my help come from? And it's a question, and the reason that it is because it's a psalm of ascents, like I said, we'll come to that, and worshipers would come up to Jerusalem, they would walk up the hill, and on the way to Jerusalem, they would look at the hills and what was going on there. Pagan worship on every hill. Where does my help come from? Where do I get my help in this world? And it's something that's making the psalmist wrestle with that. Does my help come from those other things? And we'll come back to that idea. But that's why, where does my help come from? This is actually a question. Where does help come from? Where do you go for help? Life can be very difficult. Amen? It can be. It can just be difficult. It's not as bad here as it could be in this world, right? I mean, God is very gracious to us and merciful to let us still have life, to let us still have good things, to let us still have good experiences and joy. But boy, humans are particularly good at messing up what God has made for us, aren't they? We are. We mess it up. God has made such a wonderful place for us. And if you look at all of the problems in the world, where do they come from? People, right? We did that. We did it. We messed it up. We made it hard. And that's one of the things that's frustrating to me personally. I look at how the world operates and the evil of the world and evil people using the poor and taking and making themselves richer and richer and richer and richer. And I think, and why do we have to make life so hard on each other, right? Why? Why do we have to do it? And greed and power and all that garbage. And it's just, it is what it is. Life can be hard. In a micro way, in our own lives, individually, life can be very hard. I just shared with our ABF class today, or at least to some of them that came in earlier, that difficult for our family right now. And as your parents get older, that's a reality. It's just hard, you know, difficult things happen as your parents age. My mom, of course, you know, has gone to be with the Lord. My dad is 76 now. There's all kinds of things that are difficult when your parents get old. That's what happens in life, right? Life can be very difficult. And we can make it hard on each other, can't we? In life, we can just be nasty and hard on each other for no reason. Life is hard enough. There's no reason to be nasty. And it's just the way that it is. We all will need help. Where do you get your help from? Where do you go when you face those hardships? Hardships from the outside, hardships from the inside, hardships from the world at large, hardships from spiritual forces of darkness in this world. Where are you going to run to when you need help? We can face all manner of difficulties. Where does actual help come from? Think about that. Where does my help come from? Who has the answers for life? Who will step up and be a deliverer in this crazy world that we live in? Who will actually help me? Where does my help come from? Where does my help come from? It's personal. We'll come back to that idea, right? Where does my help come from? Not just help in general, but where do I get help? Where do I look and where do I turn? And I think that's just a good question before we sort of unpack the psalm, necessarily the purpose of the psalmist here, but where does my help come from? Or where do I turn from? People turn to a lot of things for help in this world, don't they? That's a good question. If you put the emphasis on my, I don't think that's what the psalmist is doing, but I think it's a valid question. Where do you turn to? If you look at our world with any kind of thoughtfulness, you will see people looking for help. Those people say, well, they're just looking for answers. That's what the older group people used to say, right? They're looking for answers. Look at the world around you. What do people do? Where do they turn? People are looking for something that will help them make sense out of this crazy life that we have here to live. People turn to entertainment, phones, TVs, movies. Think about that. Just sort of not sinful, right? Passive things. But it's where you go, right? Here's how it happens. You had a long day. You come home. You don't want to think about nothing. You don't want to deal with anything. You don't want to talk to anybody. So you flump down in your chair. You grab your phone. And you pop open Facebook. Now, hear this. How many times has Facebook really blessed your soul, by the way? Huh? It used to not be too bad, right? When it was just like somebody's dog picture or what their kids were doing. Now it's all this crazy stuff. And it just makes you madder. Right? It makes you tireder at the end of the day. My truck has Android Auto in it, and I plug my phone in because I just want to listen to what I want to listen to, my music. But when the phone doesn't work, which is about 30% of the time, it doesn't work. It's not, it's really crazy. It turns on the radio. And usually now I've got it where I want it. It comes on with jazz. So jazz is fine. There's no words in it, right? You know, you're just listening to music. But what happened? I don't know how it happened. Something happened. My truck turned off, and it randomly switched to an AM station. Broop, broop, sometimes, so I just left it because I'm lazy, I guess. I don't know. I didn't care. It's not supposed to be on anyway, right? It just comes on. And guess what it came on to? Fox News. Huh? So it turns on, and I'm like, okay, yeah, whatever. You know, that's fine. I have to listen to it for 30 seconds. It'll be fine. And then I'm driving down the road. Yeah, that's right. You know, I'm like, wait a minute, whoa, whoa, whoa. Off, right? No, right? That's not where my help comes from, all right? That's just going to make me mad, you see? Here's what's going on in the world. Yep, it is. It's true. I don't disagree. I don't need to hear that. That's not where my help comes from. I don't need that stuff flooding into my life at all times, you see? Get on your phone. Get on Facebook. Look at that. Watching TV. I just want to veg out and watch a movie. That's how life makes sense. Have you ever thought about our culture that people rush home at 90 miles an hour, cutting you off in traffic, flipping you off so they can get home and turn on their TV? Isn't that nuts? That's their source of help. That's how they think that life makes sense. Drugs and alcohol are just blowing up completely in our world right now, and it's not going to get any better. Both from a prescription standpoint and an illegal standpoint, drugs are all over our culture. It's completely drugged, over the top, and because people want something to just numb the pain away of not understanding the world. People will pour themselves into their work, their career, businesses. Hobbies can become a time sink for you. I asked a group of pastors one time, what do you do when you're discouraged? And about 60% of them said, get a hobby. Which, in their defense, I was looking for practical solutions, okay? But it's interesting that the first several of them didn't say, hey, you know, how? What are you doing? Are you drawing near to the Lord? You know, how's your Bible time? That's not normal, you know, we already know that, right? You know, I was looking for practical solutions, but it's interesting anyway. It's easy to do that. Just throw yourself into a hobby. Get a time sink. Makes the day pass. You have something to do. And that'll give you some help. Relationships or love can be something that people chase. This person makes me feel better, and that's where I get my help from. Now, as I said, this is called a Psalm of Ascents. So this is a psalm of worship. So people will be coming up to Jerusalem to worship. So this is a real thing here. And this is just so connecting to our life, because envision with me and let your sanctified imagination be a pilgrim. And you're coming up to Jerusalem because you have to, you're commanded to, and you're coming up to temple worship, and you're following the path, and you're ascending. It's the Psalm of Ascents. There are several of them. We talked about that. We're studying just the Psalms, and you're coming up to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is raised up, and you're walking up, and your eyes go out to the hills, and you know Israel's history is not good. There's idols, there's idolatry all around. And there's people practicing these pagan worship things all around them, and they're burning incense to these figures and all this stuff. And the psalmist is wrestling with this, and he's saying, is there help there? Is there help there? Think about this. This is our culture right here. When you look out, they've got all these material possessions. They have such a nice house. They have all this they have. Could I find my help there? This is real life. Where do I find my help? Do the pagans have it right? Well, we can answer it that my help will not come from the things of the world because they are fallen and they are transient. They don't last. The things that need help themselves aren't going to help you. Amen? They don't last. They're not able to give actual help. They can't. Where does my help come from? Ask yourself those questions. Do you get help from popular culture, psychologists, you know, we used to say, do you watch Oprah or Dr. Phil? Now you have to say, what's going on the TikTok? Right? They actually call them influencers. And I said, what is an influencer? I want to find out about that. I want to be an influencer, right? I found out I don't have the body for it. Bummer. Can't do it. But they're not influencers. They're just some talking head on an app that's just a model. You know, kids like it or whatever. Do you get your help from scientists or the talking heads of the world? Where do you get your help? It's very personal. Where do you run to? What do you get? What's your source? Do you or do you get your help from the Lord? And that's what the psalmist would encourage us to, that the only right way is to get your help from the Lord. Do the pagans have it right? And the psalmist says, no. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Not from all this material junk, this transient stuff that needs help itself. It can't help me. My help comes from the Lord. My help as a child of God can only come from God. Trusting anything else is useless and idolatry because God alone is God. And so then the psalmist begins to unpack some practical reasons why your help has to come from the Lord. And we'll go through those here as we unpack this psalm, just sort of verse by verse, unpacking how the psalmist wants us to sing this psalm of worship. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. First of all, God, he's able because he's the creator of the universe. The one who created all things has enough power to help you. And if he made this intricate and amazing world, he has enough wisdom to help you. Now, slow down a minute, because these ideas are easy to embrace in a Christian perspective. I already know this. I already accept this. It's in my doctrinal statement. But I want you to just pare your life down a little bit and think about it. You know intellectually that God is able to help you. Do you always believe it or do you always live it out? Isn't it easy to act sometimes like, yeah, God knows all, he has all wisdom, but he doesn't really understand the intricacies of my experience. What's going on with me right now? Feels like that sometimes. And the psalmist would even say that. God seems distant. He seems far away. He has the power and he has the wisdom to help you. He cares for you. He keeps you from stumbling. He will not let your foot be moved. That has the idea of stumbling. He doesn't let you trip. He doesn't let your foot get off the path in the wrong way. He knows how to protect you. In verse 3 there, it has the idea, keeps there, has the idea of hedging you in with thorns. Hedge you about with thorns, you know, nothing's going to get through that. And get how to keep you. God has enough wisdom to do that. If you have roses and you ever try to work on them, you know what that's like to be hedged in with thorns. You don't want to mess with them. In our great wisdom, the Iowa DNR a few decades ago introduced multiflora rose as a hedging thing, and I can't think of one thing that the DNR introduced as an invasive species that's worked out well for us. It's kind of crazy, but it's true. And we used to go out deer hunting, and when you came up to the multiflora rose, first you remembered where it was so you could come spray it and knock it off but you couldn't kill it, by the way. You could try, but you can't kill it. But the second thing you did, walk around. All right? You do not go through it unless you are armored. You're just not going, it's just not pleasant. That's the idea here. It's just it's an impassable wall. People are not going to come through there. God protects you. He keeps you. You're hedged in. God's got you. He's powerful. He's a creator. He has wisdom. He keeps you from stumbling. He keeps you protected. He never sleeps. He who keeps Israel will neither sleep nor slumber. He's not asleep at the wheel. There's no time when he's unable to keep you. No time when he is on a break. He doesn't clock in and clock out. He's always watching. He's always with you. He's always there. You don't have to worry about him neglecting or any of those kind of things. He doesn't become slack. He will neither sleep nor slumber. He is your keeper. He doesn't slack. He's not napping at work. He's not tired. He doesn't slumber. And he is your protector. He is your keeper. He is there always and the only one who can really protect you. I think the challenge, again, humanly, is we know these things intellectually, but often we would rather have the reins ourselves. I want to know that I'm protected. I don't want to have to trust God to protect me or to keep me. I want to do it. I want to be the one that takes care of myself. And I grapple with that in this world, quite honestly. Where does God want me to act? Where does God want me to trust? And as I age, I am finding, for what it's worth, I am finding, at least for me, and I think in my experience, most people, we would much rather find something to do than someone to trust. Much rather. It's so much, and it seems counterintuitive, but it's so much easier to work, try to get it done, make it happen, than to stop what you're doing and trust God. It's really interesting to me. The Lord is your keeper. And I grapple with that. You know, what does God want me to do to protect myself? And what does God want me to say? Okay, I'm just going to trust God in this. And God said, an army is a vain hope. I don't even have an army, right? And if I did, I shouldn't trust it. It's a vain hope. God will take care of you. He's your keeper. Hard to draw that where, you know, where I think it's you do what you're supposed to do while trusting God and continue to grow in trusting God. God is your protector. Where does my help come from? And the psalmist will say, the only one who is able to truly help. The God who spoke the universe out of nothing is perfectly able to keep you no matter how hard your life gets, no matter how difficult it is, no matter how you don't see any end in it. All powerful, all knowing, and all wise. So the psalmist starts out by telling us that God is able, if you will, that he can do it, he can pull it off, he can be your help. Even in this crazy, nutty world that we live in right now, we have nothing to fear because God is greater than all of the things that are going on in the world. God is willing. God is willing. God is willing to help because not a good enough humanly think, you know, if I'm going to put all my trust in God, it's not enough to know that he can do it. I want to know if he wants to do it, right? Does God want to keep me? Does he want to be my protector? And he does. The Lord is willing to help. Notice this. I don't know that our poetry is that great in English, but this is just a beautiful passage of this psalm. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. I gotta go ahead for a little bit. We'll get to that here in a second here. He's your shade. God doesn't keep you from a distance. That's what this is saying here. And it goes on to say that he's so close that the sun doesn't even strike you. Think about that. Just let your mind work a little. You know, you go outside. You know, I'll give you an example. Just this, the Friday, I had a half an hour, I didn't have something I had to do. So what I decided to do, organize my tools, right? So I'm organizing my tools. I pulled my truck in the garage, and I'm working. And I don't know if you remember Friday, but the sun's sitting there beating on my back. I'm like, man, I'm in the garage. How is the sun on me? I'm in my own garage. So I pulled my truck out and backed it in, right, so that the sun wouldn't be on me. Think about how close God would have to be to you that no sun would strike you. Right there. You see what I'm saying? I was actually inside my garage and the sun was still hitting me. I had to move in closer for the sun to get off of me. This is a super intimate portion of scripture here. The Lord is your shade, and he's on your right hand. He's right there. He's with you. He doesn't help you from a distance. He is intimately involved in your life, personally and intimately involved. We would say he is imminent, right there, right with you. He's not disconnected, but he is your heavenly Father, and that's the passage that I preemptively went to. You did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. God is your Father. He is there. He is with you. He's near you. He loves you. He's going to keep you. He's going to be with you. The sun won't even fall on you. As I said, the sun shall strike you. The moon cannot strike you because God is your shade. He's your protector. In the hottest day, in the darkest night, God is with you 24/7. And he stays with you. He will keep you from all evil, and he will keep your life. This is beginning to end. He's there to protect you. He doesn't let anything get outside of his sovereign control. He keeps your life for your entire life, protecting you, being with you. And that's why the psalmist says that he is our refuge and strength, and a very present help in time of trouble. I think that's just a beautiful reminder. God is able and God is willing. And think about it. When life gets hard, we all have had them. Maybe you're having it right now. When life is hard, remember these truths. God can take care of me, and he wants to. And he doesn't put me through these trials. It feels like that. I hear that language all the time. Well, man, God is really putting me through this. He doesn't put you through that. He walks you through it. He's with you through it. He goes through these things with you. He's right there. And we just don't see it. We just don't recognize it. He's with you. He is our very present help in trouble. And how many times in your life have you looked back at some big trouble and you look back and you say, man, I had no idea what God was doing. Man, now I can see it. I can see where he was there. I can see what he was doing. I can see where God showed up. He's faithful. He's powerful, he's willing, and he's also faithful, which is also very important. The Lord will. The Lord will keep you. He says that twice. He says he will also in this. This is a promise of God. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. He preserves you. He preserves you from evil, and he preserves your life. And again, for a lifetime. You're going out, you're coming in from this time forward and forevermore. So God's promise to you that he is going to be faithful to you. My mind in this last part, sort of to close, I suppose, goes to eternal life here, from this time forth and forevermore. And just kind of reminiscent of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God's going to keep you forevermore. Everlasting life, right? We know that the Son of God has come and given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. We are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life or everlasting life, this time forth and forevermore. You see the same idea there. Eternal life is definitely in view because God is with you forever. He is your keeper forever. He is your help forever. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for our salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And again, this is one of the reasons that it's so important that all of those things in this world fail you. And if you, it never happens, by the way, but if you somehow found something in this world that you could hook your hope to, right? And finally, life made sense. Finally, I got it. I found it. It was a spouse that loves me, and he did it. He pulled it off. I feel great. My life makes sense. They're going to die, and so are you. You need an eternal hope. Only God can provide that. That never happens, by the way. Usually what you'll do is kill that spouse, trying to make them your Messiah. You'll wear them out. They can't take God's place in your life. You need a hope that is forever. So where does your help come from? Ask yourself that question today. where does my help come from? And the psalmist would remind us that your only help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth, able, willing, and faithful. No created thing can compare. So it's imperative for us to trust the Lord. As we walk in this world, as times get hard, as things are difficult, as relationships are hard, or whatever, turn to the Lord and trust and let him be God. I know, without a doubt, that we're never going to get to heaven and say, "Oh man, I wish I had just trusted God less. I wish I had just figured it out myself and just trusted God less." No one is going to say that. But I wonder how many of us are going to have that kind of regret. Oh man, I should have just trusted the Lord in that. I should have, instead of trying to do my own will and push my own agenda, I should have trusted the Lord. I should have trusted him. I should have sat back and said, "I have no idea how this is going to work, but God's got it." I wonder. We do know that he is our only hope and our only source of help. So learn to trust him and turn from those created things. You know, we had that list in the beginning. If one of those things has got a hold of you, think about it a little bit. Maybe try to limit that a little bit and spend more time with the Lord. Make sure certainly that your life isn't out of proportion, right? Where you're spending less time with the Lord than you are with whatever, television or career or whatever you think is going to make life make sense. My hope comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Let's pray. Well, God, thank you for this reminder of your faithfulness again today. Wow, it's good to be reminded of that. This life, apart from Christ, this life is completely hopeless. I have no idea how people without Christ even get up in the morning. Thank you that we have a fuller story in Christ, that you have made us for a purpose with a reason and a future that is full of hope, with full of purpose and an ending that is heaven forever. Thank you. God, we confess and cry out to you that we need help. We need your help. You are our only help. Please help us. God, give us grace today that we would know you more, that we would see you at work in our life, and that we would ultimately learn to trust you better in these times when life is difficult. We pray to that end in Jesus' name. Amen.